Welcome to Talk Is Sheep, the official podcast of the Wild Sheep Society of British Columbia, brought to you by our title sponsor, Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. Come along with us as we take conversations that matter to you into the high alpine. We have partnered with Mountain Tough Fitness Lab to help get you in shape and mentally stronger. Whether you're a veteran hunter just starting out, the Mountain Tough app will take you to the next level. We personally train using the Mountain Tough programs, and we believe in it so much that we want to give you 6 weeks for free using code SHEEPBC. That's SHEEPBC. Check out Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. You won't be disappointed.
I think everything just froze there. Or did you say something? Because I've got my clock's ticking 15 seconds and I didn't hear nothing.
I didn't say anything. I was just looking at you. I was mesmerized by the beautiful pictures, the flowing beard, the books. There was just so much going on there. I was speechless.
I can honestly say none of those are my books.
Those pictures are yours, and so is the beard.
Yeah, the beard is born and bred on my face, so it's good. How you doing, buddy?
Ah, it's happening, dude. Yeah, we're settling into post-convention season here. I just got back from Reno. I was down there for a Wild Sheep Foundation board meeting, my last board meeting. I'm term out, or my term ends here on April 30th, so I'm director for hire, I guess. Well, I'm still on the board of directors of the Mount Wildlife Conservation Society, so... But yeah, my 5 years on the board of the foundation comes to an end. It's kind of a weird feeling. It's been great. It's a great organization, great people, great stuff for wild sheep in BC. So yeah, it's been a great 5 years, but get to take some time off now.
I'm going to laugh at that because you are not going to get any time off from there. And you're going to be sitting on all the committees just like you normally would.
That's true.
You just won't have voting power anymore.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
You're in. You're all in. You can't pretend otherwise. But yeah, it was weird. Sad to see you go from there. But I guess there's next year. And people got to friggin' vote.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it take to get elected, I guess? Hey, I like yard signs. We'll give away a sheep hunt and talk to sheep if you vote for Stelter. What's the deal? I don't know.
I sent you that vote for Stelter poster as a joke, and I'm just gonna put that up next year.
Well, it's interesting. The board of directors, we had quite a long discussion around that at our last board meeting in Reno, and there are some sort of policy changes around elections, and one of them is that chapter affiliates should be canvassing for their candidate. So they're actually actively seeking that chapter affiliates support whoever they're basically sending in as a nominee or candidate.
So we failed you.
No, it was kind of, that's the thing is back like this year, it wasn't really encouraged. No one really did it. So but they're actively, and they're going to announce that a chapter and affiliates this year in Calgary of how chapter and affiliates should be pushing for their candidate. If you nominate someone or if you're putting a candidate forward, you should be encouraging your members to vote for them, especially if there's somebody you really want on the board. So, but it was certainly nobody let anyone down. Maybe I did. I didn't do much campaigning, but hey, it's all for good. And you know, the cool thing about the new board of directors at the Wild Sheep Foundation, they got two great new candidates. Sam Cunningham, Clint Bentley are just highly accomplished in their own chapter and affiliates. Sam's coming out of Texas with TBS, and Clint has done a phenomenal job with the fraternity in Nevada. Both just heavy lifters for Wild Sheep, and they're just a huge, they're going to be a workhorse. They're going to be a great advocate for wild sheep. So two great replacements on that board of directors that are going to make that board even stronger. So,
oh, that's great to hear. Those are both solid people. So it's sad to see you go, but it's always nice to get some fresh eyes in there and see where you failed.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Well said. Yeah.
So we got something coming up this Saturday, April 20th. We are doing our first count/pub night. So we're going to be doing the South Thompson in the Kamloops Lake area. And then that evening we'll be rolling into a pub night in Kamloops. I think it starts at 8:00. There's some guest speakers showing up. There'll be some prizes and a room full of solid, like-minded individuals. And you know, you're going to be able to chat about your day and follow up on glass and sheep and just what we love to do, get out there, get that fresh air and, you know, top it off with a nightcap.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. The Kamloops boys are going to be in the house. Are you going to be up there? Are you driving down for it or what's your plan?
I will not be there. I'm slacking lately.
You're going to miss out on El Jefe, but Maddie's going to be there and Gregory's going to be there and it's just going to be great. And those two guys, when it comes to alcohol and a good time, Nalawake will take care of you. So sorry, Greg. But no, it's going to be a great time. Those two guys are two great directors doing a ton of great work for Wild Sheep on our board, and they're going to put a great night on. Earl's just giving them the space in their event. And yeah, guest speakers. I think Larissa is one of them. Is that correct? Is that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Larissa's one of them.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So Larissa, she did a bunch of the South Thompson counts last year. She was heavily involved. She's actually our MyTax student, so she's doing a study on the South Thompson herd as we speak through her master's program. So she's going to be really, really cool to talk to just about her master's research. So super, super cool.
Yeah, and we got Thomas Cole and Megan Allen are both going to be out there speaking as well. Also, both really solid people that know and love sheep and, you know, people you can learn from and just great people to chat with.
Yeah,
and then to keep the theme of things happening in Kamloops, if you want a good time, no bullshit, just go out, have a few drinks, swing a stick around, hit a ball into a hole if you're lucky, see some sheep on the mountain, see some sheep down eating the grass. June 8th, our second annual Mountain Monarch Golf Tournament at the Bighorn Golf and Country Club right there in the heart of Kamloops and the heart of sheep country.
It's going to be a good one, buddy. The pictures from last year were a little unhinged, I will say. You know, it looked like a heck of a great time. I'd love to be there. And there's some really, really cool things that they've done. I think the hole-in-one contest, they give away, what do they get, a new car or something like that? I think that happened last year.
I can't remember
anyway.
What they got. Yeah, the last year was a car, and then there was a Gunworks package or something for another hole-in-one. Yeah. Like, they're not screwing around. I think the hole-in-one is like, I think the Gunworks package was like $25,000. And then there was, yeah, one of the dealerships up there was going to give away a car. Like, it's... And then there were some scary moments last year when someone that was in the tournament had hit a hole in one, but it was the day before, and the golf course had shared on their social media that someone hit the hole in one during the tournament. So everyone kind of panicked and it's like, hold on a second.
We thought we were giving away a $25,000 Gunworks package. Like, it's like, funny.
Yeah, it's congratulations on the guy that got the hole in one, but it didn't happen during the tournament, and we do have people at every hole, and you know, there's sponsors for the holes, and there's stuff to do at some of the holes, whether you're just playing a game on the side, like I know Spike Camp, they did the I don't even know what it's called, the beanbag toss game.
Cornhole or whatever, yeah.
Cornhole, there you go. They played some cornhole at their gate, their hole that they sponsored, and they're going to be there again this year, they said. So that'll be it's a great time, and if you're privileged enough to see some of the pictures from last year that we don't share, they're having a good time, and you cannot go and not have a good time. Like, it's, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. For you're gonna have a great time. You're gonna raise funds for sheep, and you know, it's what's better than having fun and raising money for conservation? Like, it's all we can hope for, and we hope we sell out.
Yeah, well said. What else we got on the go?
There's an AGM coming up for somebody.
Yeah, I knew there was something, and I knew you'd remember. That's why you're the boss, and I'm your employee. So the CCFR. So many of you are well aware we supported the CCFR this year. We gave them $50,000, thanks to the generosity of our membership, and it was raised through our Northern fundraiser, our Salute to Conservation, and then the board of directors approved money towards that as well. And they are out there looking for our, looking after our lawful rights for gun ownership here in Canada. It's been a problem for a number of years and continues to be a problem. But their AGM is now going to be held May 25th in Calgary, and there's tickets that are currently on sale. So they went on sale last Friday. So Jim Shockey's the keynote. I'm going to be there. Mike Sullivan's going to be there. So come out, hang out, support a great cause. It's held in Calgary, Alberta at the Sheraton Cavalier Hotel. I think the AGM's earlier on in the day. It's 1 hour long, runs at 10 a.m. And then they roll into the afternoon, I think around 3:30, the main event starts. And there's a fundraiser, a great dinner. Shockey's the keynote. So it's just going to be a great time. But most importantly, we're going to be supporting gun rights in Canada, a worthy cause, something that needs our attention. And love to see you there. So if you're thinking of heading out their way, shoot me a message. So just head over to ccfragm.ca, get registered, sign up, and get your tickets for the weekend. They've got a really limited number of seats. It's pretty exclusive, actually. I can't remember the exact number, but they will sell that thing out for sure. So it's going to be a good time, and hope to see you in Calgary.
Yeah, a bunch of great folks over at the CCFR doing a lot of heavy lifting for your firearm rights here in Canada. I love that we support them, and I'll continue to support them, and hopefully we get some big wins coming up. That'd be the best. Yeah. But with that, I think we should roll into this podcast with Justin Balzer, what do you want to call him, the main character, the movie star of the Subsistence film by Fargon Media.
Yeah, it's a great one, buddy. Great chat with Justin, and just a great dude. Really, really cool that he's part of our team, and just really grateful for guys like him and tons of other guys and gals that are part of the society that just get out, get after it, and they don't make it a big deal about it. And they're great hunters, great anglers, and great outdoors people, and certainly great conservationists.
This episode is sponsored by our conservation partner, Yeti. Thank you, Sitka Gear and Yeti, for investing in healthy wildlife and sustainable ecosystems.
Well, Justin, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great. I'm excited about it. It's a podcast I've listened to a long time, so it's not that I've yearned to be on this, but it's always nice to put faces to the name, so can't complain.
Well, and as you know, Kyle just said off air there, you're kind of a big deal now. You're a big celebrity, man. How's that feel?
Yeah, it feels weird. Feels funny. I'll say it in a nice way. I was kind of saying to you that it messes with the human psyche a fair bit. You know, like listening to yourself talk, it just doesn't compute well in the brain. So to me, I sound like an absolute fool. But that's okay. As long as it makes sense in the grand scheme of what everything was, then I think we're sitting above par here. So.
Dude, I'm going to say, man, I had a bit of a man crush after that film. Like, I was, like, messaging Greg. I'm like, holy shit, that guy's really smart. He, like, I learned more about fishing and hunting in, like, 30 minutes of film than I've done in the last 40 years in the bush, man. I'm like, holy crap, you did a really good job, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. You're cutting out, sorry. Shit. I missed all of that.
No, it's all good. You didn't miss anything important. So.
Okay, right on. Yeah, it was one of those things, you know, like, I don't know, you never picture to be on a screen. You never picture to be have a film. But, you know, it was one of those things that an opportunity arose. And I actually thought about it just being like, if this is anything that comes about this, it's a lifetime of film of bringing my daughter into the world and be able to show ideally for generations. Right. So it was kind of like, that was the main thing to me that was like actually took it. Cause at first I was like, man, I don't know. Being on screen is just not my thing. Doing this thing, you know, as much as like knowledge comes into play and of just being out there and learning these things, but like really I'm not anything smart. It's just kind of what I've observed or learned, and a lot of it is actually learned through just through other people, right? So it's just passing on knowledge, and which I can appreciate. So
yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. You know, that the film does pass on some good knowledge to folks, because you got an interesting kind of, you know, there's a way of doing things. Like you're a 9-to-5 kind of hard working blue collar guy, mm-hmm. living in the city, and then when you get that chance, you're get the hell out of Dodge kind of deal. And can you tell us a little bit of your journey and your background into becoming an outdoorsman and living in the Lower Mainland, and you know how you make that all kind of tie in together and get out of there?
Yeah, I'll try and keep it short. I can, but like pretty much what ended up happening, I've kind of had a family cabin that's been since my dad has been a kid up at Sheridan Lake by 100 miles. So most of my summers were spent being up there, going full blast fishing or just adventuring. You know, back then it was minnow fishing. I'd be out there for 8 hours in the day, and then try and find frogs, and all just being outdoors. And then that kind of like fueled the passion for outdoors. And then I was getting into shooting grouse with slingshots, you know, and started coming into this age of firearms and whatnot. And then it kind of shifted when I got to like 14, or even just prior to that, 10 to 14, was just sitting in the truck and like with my opa or something. And just those memories, you know, that you kind of cherish. You don't know you cherish until it becomes apparent that you do cherish them. And then turned into about 14, I got my license for my hunting license, and my Uncle Jim gave me a call, and it kind of propelled this little bit of infatuation with big game animals. And it's kind of just steamrolled from there, you know. And part of my thing is I'm still, like you said, a working man. So like I'm a production manager. So I'm at the shop about 6 o'clock to 6:30 every day, and my job doesn't end till the guys end kind of deal. And that could be 3 o'clock, that could be 6 o'clock, who knows, sometimes later, but I'm Monday to Friday. So anytime I can, whether it be after work, I'll blast out for a half hour. We got a lot of local sloughs, you know, there's actually a lot of good stuff you can harvest even just from, like what's on the ground. Never mind what's in the water. And then from there, I just do that every day. I call myself an opportunist. I say it in the film a fair bit, but like that's how I see it, is like if I can be fishing something at the same time, I'll try and be like foraging something. Or I'll be, if I'm hunting, I might be fishing in the midday when there's a bit, you know, animals are bedded down or something like that. You know, I try and take advantage of whatever's around me. And utilize every hour I can of the day.
When it came time for this film, and you know, you mentioned it there a couple times, what was your goal getting into that? Or did Fargon approach you, like just kind of casually heard about you? Or were you like, hey guys, I do cool stuff?
Yeah, well, I was not seeking it, I'll tell you that. they kind of had an idea, Nick and Nolan, they had an idea, and they were kind of workshopping this idea, and then they ended up, Nick was like, kind of, hey, I actually know a guy who does all that. And they were kind of talking about like someone who's just constantly trying to harvest and live off the land as much as possible. And he's like, I think I know a guy that might do that. And it was just through Instagram. And then it was kind of funny, but I've known Nolan, like I knew Nolan when he was like just a little guy. He's like 10 years younger than me, so maybe not quite, but anyways, like I knew when he was a little guy, and here he was like contacting me, and all of a sudden it was kind of like holy smokes. And then he wanted to meet, so we had a beer, kind of workshopped it. I thought about it, I said, well, I'm doing this shit anyways, I'm out there, I'm gonna be doing it, so if you want to tag along and film, and if it works for you, great, you know, like no biggie. And then Nolan kind of just took that forward, and, he was getting you got sponsors, all sorts of stuff. I wasn't expecting any of that. I was just like, cool. You know, it's fun to hang out with like-minded people and same type of people that would be in the same stuff I'm into. So why not? You know, if I can pass on what you're looking for, your view, then let's take it forward. So that's kind of what it propelled into. And after the first like shoot we did, it was like, we just fit really well. So it propelled forward and it was pretty wicked. It turned out awesome. It was just like, honestly, it was just like if you were hunting with buds, it was just like you were fishing with buds by the end of it. They're pretty top quality dudes. So I had no complaints. It wasn't even that. Like, it wasn't that I was looking for complaints. It just was like, hey, this is a good time. So it turned out.
Oh, excellent. Right on. So with the filming, was it kind of, you know, you call them like, hey, I'm headed out, better follow me, or you're not coming, or just kind of give them a heads up? Or
yeah, honestly, like Scotty and I, my partner and I, we're out almost every day, right? So like there was times they have jobs too. They have stuff they're working on constantly, and they got other, you know, shoots and deadlines and stuff like that. So like it was really like, hey, I'm going out doing this. If you're around, come on out, you know. And then lots, you know, they probably came out one out of 20 outings, right? Really, truly, in comparison. But they made, you know, the big ones. Obviously, those were planned, just like all our hunting trips. So those were a little easier. But like the day to day, even like the fishing local sloughs and the local rivers and stuff like that, or foraging just like in my back, like just in the back 40 here, you know, like that stuff was like, hey, I'm gonna go and go pick mushrooms. If you guys are around, let's make it work kind of deal. So it was maybe like a 1 or 2 day notice on some of those. The big hunts, obviously, those are planned well in advance. So, but it was kind of like, that's the way it rolled. Like they didn't come out for my, I went out for like 5 days for muleys, and good thing they didn't. It was pretty shit. It was hard. So, but it would have portrayed a really, an even more hard. Thankfully, though, I swear, maybe they're my good luck. Maybe I got to keep having them out even after this thing, you know, for this reason alone. They brought a lot of good luck, I feel. Maybe it's all the beginner's luck. I don't know. I was working it for all it's worth. So,
well, I know Nolan cornered the blacktail for you, and you kind of shot it over her shoulder.
Oh, man, that was a wild thing. We were both working like these fingers down in this area, and this was Nolan's area. I hunt blacktails, but not like religiously. A lot of time I'm trying to find like a big old muley, and I kind of get more focused, or I'll do like a late bow season for whitetail, stuff like that. He had this area kind of pretty pinpointed. So we worked these fingers down. I ended up seeing a buck. I literally like came over this knoll, saw this buck staring straight at me, and I was like, it's now or never. So shot this thing, and all of a sudden I knew Nolan was somewhere in an area, and I was actually looking for him while I was working down the fingers, but it's coastal, so it's just like so bushy, you know, like if he was in any way behind something, I wasn't gonna see him. All of a sudden he came and popped out of nowhere. So not honestly, I felt bad. Like I truly felt bad. Like I was like pumped, you know, don't get me wrong. But like, I felt bad. Most of the time, I love bringing people out, and I'm on the other end, right? Like, I like getting people into animals, you know, I love those moments of like people's first and being there. It's a different feeling. Like I really enjoy that stuff. Like those moments, I'd rather someone else shoot it. So I was kind of hoping that he was going to end up seeing something and getting something down. And I was going to just be pumped and be like, hey, sweet. Well, we're out here another day. That's for sure. I got nothing wrong with that. But after that buck was staring straight at me, I literally, I think I might have counted to three, and I didn't see no one. So buck was going down.
Yeah. I was trying to drag it out of Nolan how he truly felt about the situation. He wouldn't give it to me. He's like, I was pumped for him. I'm like, come on. You know, at one point you looked over in your shoulder and you were like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. But I will say he made me feel very pumped. Like he was, if he had any like remorse about bringing me out, he did not show it. He was pretty top quality. He was so stoked. He was just as stoked as I was. So I think he's a pretty genuine dude, but how can you not, right? Like, come on. The feel of the burn of seeing like the biggest buck you've ever seen for a blacktail and your buddy that you brought out shoots it. So I can understand the feeling that it would probably be a little gut wrenching or a little heart, a little cut in the heart a bit there. So.
Well, that was a pretty good, that's a pretty good blacktail too. It looked nice and heavy and old. So it's, yeah.
He was a good blacktail.
So while Nolan's sitting there in his sorrow, you cut up the deer, you throw it on his back too and make him help you pack it out.
Yeah, well, I dragged it for a bit there, and then at that point it was kind of like one of those things where we had a lot farther to go, and I was like, it's time to just dice this sucker up. So we fully butchered that thing up. Or no, we didn't fully butcher it up. Sorry, my mistake. I'm thinking the elk. No, I just gutted it, and then we attached a log between, and then pretty much like hauled that thing up, tape on and everything. So that, hey, I will say this about those two boys. Big time. Those two guys can haul meat. They are thick boys. Like, Nick, he comes from a farming background. Like his life was, he's from Ontario, I believe it. Yeah, Ontario. And he's like farmer, just grew up. He hasn't lifted a weight in his life, but he's got like, I think these are traps or lats, whatever these are, but he's just like distinct. And I'm like, this guy can haul. So I was, I would put him to work. You bet. Absolutely. And Nolan, he's a thick dude. That guy can haul. So I was pretty, I'm a small guy. I'm a 5'8", if I'm lucky on a good day, you know, not the thickest beam. These guys are like big cedar trunks. So they, I was using them for all they're worth.
That's a good film crew to have at your side there.
Tell me about it. It was the best.
That's fantastic. Love it. When you started this film, were you guys pregnant when you started? Like you knew you were having a kid during the film, or was that kind of a little bit into it and then just worked out?
We were pregnant. Yeah, we were. But when we first chatted, like we had, honestly, I can't remember when like Noel, we thought of the idea and we met for beers. And I don't think we were pregnant yet. Actually quite positive we weren't pregnant yet. And then it propelled into, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, it's so long ago, but yeah, I'm like the whole film we knew was like, especially prior to like right at the ice off the first shots, like that was, I knew we were growing a kid. So, it was pretty full blast at that point.
No, it tied the story in. Like if it wasn't planned that way, like it was perfect. Like the way you guys just rolled into bringing your daughter out on the water with you, and you know, it's cool to see. Like, are you finding it a fun new challenge in your life to be introducing your daughter into the same world that you and Scotty love so much?
Man, I love being a dad. I look forward to every day getting home from work and seeing what new adventure the three of us are going to go on, you know? So sure, it's a challenge. Like I think having kids is always a challenge, but I've always kind of had the view of I might as well do it where we both enjoy, right? Whether it's just outdoors, it doesn't matter what we're doing, but as long as we're doing something. So it's got its challenges for sure. You know, the amount of gear you got to bring, the amount of stuff. But we make it work. We did a sweet like hike into the Alpine, an overnighter. I think she was, I want to say, and like it worked out really good. But that was kind of like a big teaser for us to be like, okay, are we going to be able to do this? Like all that we love, you know, like getting up into the Alpine, doing these things with our kiddo, you know? And that was like, obviously the kid isn't like walking or doing things yet and complaining and everything along with those. You know, it was viable. We found out it was viable. So at that point, full blast ahead. We're not stopping for nothing. And she does pretty good. She's used to it now. I think if anything, she's like really, really enjoys it. It's like time on dad at the same time, like usually falls asleep, gets a really solid nap in, you know, can't complain. So it's working out.
Yeah, getting all that fresh air is great.
Yeah, I
agree. How important is it to you to be raising your daughter that way, kind of the same way you were brought up and, you know, getting out there and making it happen?
Top priority to me. Very top priority to me. Nice thing is Scotty and I are both kind of, I grew up outdoors. Scotty did too. She grew up right up on the Alouette, like literally on the Alouette River. So she was, you know, poking dead salmon as a kid, you know, so we have the same viewpoints on those, which is kind of great. So we both see it's very like mandatory for us to be outside, you know, hands in the dirt, you know, getting sore from working and all that kind of stuff. So I know we both feel the same that way. So every day we're trying to push some form outdoors, whether even if it's just gardening or going on walks, go out onto the dikes, you know, look at animals and, you know, kind of touch all that and feel all that. So
are you guys at the stage where you have to kind of make sure your daughter's entertained and engaged, or she's not quite there yet?
She's there. Yeah, she's there. I would say that the nice thing is I think that we go out so much with her. It's like now it's part of protocol, right? But like she does need to stay entertained. But like we work that together, you know. Like I'll just use like a typical day if we're gonna go down just to the river fishing. So I'll pop out with her, you know, we'll blast down. She's in the backpack at that point. She's kind of engaged because there's things flying past her, right? Like all these different leaves, all sorts of stuff's happening. But usually when I get standing and I'm like fishing a run, that is when like someone needs to entertain me now. And like that's where we kind of work hand in hand, you know, like I'll just be pointing out, like moving my fingers, pointing at the bobber, talking to her, or like Scotty will be right beside me and she'll kind of entertain. And like you get in rhythms, you figure out cast, I'll cast, and then Scotty will cast, and we kind of just work together that way. Always nice thing too is she's like starting to become infatuated with our dog Freya, so like she's always wanting to watch her too, so thank God for that. that's like a third person, not quite a grandma in there, but like, you know, it's helping.
I don't know if your grandma would like you comparing her to a dog, but hey.
Hey, she's never going to hear this, let's be honest. Mom's the word.
Yeah, there's definitely some truth to that. Yeah, for sure. So I want to roll into, you know, your elk hunt during that film. That had to have been a pretty intense hunt for you guys, because that's your friend's first elk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what, minutes apart? Like, it was all seemed to be the same kind of roar and rumble and coming at you.
Yeah, it was the full meal deal, I'll tell you that. It was wild. Like, we hunted really hard. We were putting on 20 plus kilometers a day trying to find sign. That was another thing. Like, these guys can haul. Like, they kept up to me. I was so happy about that. You know, like, I've never been with the film crew, but I'm sure a lot of guys can't do that, right? Like, we were rolling over deadfall the whole time. And I'm bushwhacking, like, not following no trails, as most hunters and stuff, I guess. But, you know, it's just these guys kept up. So we were putting on 20 clicks a day searching for these elk, just trying to find sign. I was finding, like, bits and pieces. But it wasn't just, like, it wasn't good. Like, and then at times it was, like, just totally dry. You know, it's just, like, there's nothing in here. We got to keep moving, keep adjusting. And thankfully, like, lots of these areas, like, I've shot bulls in and whatnot, shot elk, shot moose in there. But in this case, it was, like, nothing. So adapted, shifted, ended up finding, like, we arrived this, or went out in the evening, found some, like, a way better, like, rut pit, found, like, more fresh sign, and sure enough, we came up a couple extra cows in there. So the next morning was the plan to get right back in there. Muse, and then I heard some distant bugles, and then all of a sudden it was just like the fireworks started happening, the symphonies were happening on this, like, I'm hearing bugles like coming together, merging. It was just like, it was wild. And all I could think of was like, let's get in it. Like I was peeking, you know, the twitch of the eyes starting to happen, the whole works. Like I was already getting a shaky leg. And I hadn't even shot anything, you know, or seen anything. It was just like full blast. Anyways, we hauled in there, got into the thick of them, and there was this one bull. The first bull that I shot was we were kind of pacing with him, and this is a crazy thing. I saw blood on the ground as we were pacing him. There was no shots fired yet, but I was like, he must have just fought, and he's taking off doing his thing, and he is on his way, and he doesn't want to fight again. And I'm just like trailing him, calling him, and we're just moving together. And then it came to a point, he was kind of answering back like 20 to 25, 30 seconds after my calls. So I kind of like told the guys, unfortunately, this is the classic, like, this is a big explanation compared to like in the film, you can't show everything, right? So, and for what shots that worked out and didn't, right? So here we are, I kind of told the guys, I was like, I'm going to call and we're going to run. Like, we're going to full sprint, like, be ready. We're full sprinting at this guy to cut some distance. And as soon as he calls, I'm going on top of him. So worked out like textbook, called ass. He called, I called right on top of him, and he turned and he's like, it's game time now. So right at that moment, I kind of actually like stepped back because like, he was right there. He was within 100 yards, and in like that poplar kind of grovey stuff, like, you can see 80, 90 yards, and he was going to like be into view any minute or any second. And I stepped back. And as soon as I stepped back, I was just thrashing bush, calling and stuff. But he figured it out. He's like, well, what? This guy's stepping back. I'm out of here. Like, he's already backing down. So he took off. And so we did the same play again. You know, I was like, boys, we're running right away. Like, so took off running again, called on top of him. He turned again, came in, and I kind of wanted, this is this thing about, you know, getting people on first. This would have been, this is Hayden's first elk. And I was like really adamant on trying to get Hayden to shoot. And this bull came right in, came across broadside kind of deal, 80 yards maybe-ish. And he ended up, I was kind of just like, Hayden, it's now or never, man. Like, shoot now. This guy's got us, like, he's pegged us. We, you know, this isn't right. You know, something feels off. And he wasn't taking a shot. So I was like, nope. And I saw how wide he was. I didn't necessarily see, like, I could see his whale tails. I could see his front points, his fronts and stuff. And he knew he's legal. And he went to turn and I blasted him. And then, and like, videos and stuff like that, like, it was 2 minutes. Another bull was already calling and coming in. So at that point, I was like, dude, we're not missing out on this opportunity. This is going to be a bull, like, dual bull day. This is a good opportunity. So when it happened, and just kind of had like a little pine section, like, and you know, in those big poplar groves, there's those little pine sections in there. I kind of pushed Hayden to get right tight to there. And this bull was coming on from the backside of that. And I actually thought I was going to pull him right through that, but he wasn't moving. So I shifted and I actually followed the blood trail because it was kind of on the game trail. And then it shot off like kind of off to my right. So I followed it to the right and I kept calling and working this bull. And we worked it, I want to say it was like 45 minutes-ish, somewhere around there, give or take. And finally got him to commit after I started giving him more like desperate cow calls while imitating a bull on top, like trying to like pin this cow. Hayden got the crack on him and he ran 30 yards, keeled over. And so I was like absolutely stoked because here Hayden got his first. And obviously I knew, I was like, I can't believe we just got a dual bull day. This is so sick. Like, couldn't believe it with four guys trenching through the bush, you know. It was like, oh man, it was wild. So we ended up right then, I was kind of like, all right, well, let's go find my bull now. This one's done, you know. So we went back to the blood trail and we followed that blood trail, and it went into like a whole bunch of like really like knobby alders and stuff like that, and tall grass, and the blood trail just started like getting thinner, 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 and then like disappeared. And we searched for hours. And it was like, came to a point where I was like, okay, well, now we have another bull down. It's not very cold out. Like, we should take care of this one that we know for sure. No spoilage. I can be okay with that. We'll grid pattern. Like, we'll get this one back to camp, come back, grid pattern till dark, and then we'll pick it up in the morning kind of deal. And so we did exactly that. We went and butchered this Hayden's elk and got that one all up into the bags, and we're hauling out. And literally within, like, Hayden started heading out first. And I think I probably was saying it to the film, like, all right, well, we're gonna heading out now. And I was probably like talking, I can't even quite remember, but I started following. He was about 10, 15 yards ahead of me. And he thought of the shed sticking out of the ground. And he literally walked, I can't believe it. We found him, you know? So I was right stoked. I think all of us understand that moment of like, oh, like, and like, kind of like, thank God, you know? Like, I would have grip parried him. I'm sure I would have found him again. I would have picked him up. Like, let's go. But like, that relief was just like enormous. The crazy part is, like, we hauled out Hayden's elk. They went and took it, like, brought it back to camp. I came back in with Nick, butchered that all up and started doing all that. But as I was butchering, there was only one wound. Only my gunshot wound. There was no wounds at all. So I was blood trailing a different elk's blood trail. And he didn't even bleed because it was a great shot, and he literally ran 30 yards. But I thought he like disappeared, right? And once you get past that I couldn't see him anymore from the poplars, and so odd, like, to be blood trailing a different elk, like, it's just running the same path. I was just like, man, what are the odds on that? So I'm really happy it worked out, to say the least. But man, was that a stressful situation?
Yeah, it's always crazy how quickly such a large animal can just disappear when they go down, like moose, elk. You know, there's so much headgear going on, such a big body.
100%.
And they go down, and you follow a blood trail, and you're just like, I got no idea where this thing went. Like, what's the deal here? And then you know, sometimes you just stumble across it, and you're like, what the hell?
You can't find it, and then you finally bring yourself to go back to the point of contact. And then you realize it's like 20 yards right there, right? Like, that, I think lots of people have dealt with that. I've dealt with that too many times. And here was another one. And I just got fixated thinking it was his blood trail. And that was the whole thing that threw everything for the loop. When if I didn't have that in the first place, I would have been like, okay, I need to find like exactly where I hit him, you know? But in this case, it was a compounding thing, and it got the best of me. But hey, I won in the end.
Yeah, you guys sure did, and then you had a little bit of work cut out for you after that, but luckily you had a camera crew of big boys that are going to haul for you.
You bet, man. I got to say, that was the dream. I've never had that, like, ever. So, especially, yeah, maybe one extra guy, but typically it's like, especially when it comes to, like, elk and moose, that's a long ways, and I'm definitely not the guy that's, like, right off of cut lines and stuff. I'm figure them out once I get them kind of deal. So it was really nice. Really nice this trip to be able to be like, wow, we made some really epic time. I don't think I could ever have dreamed for that.
Yeah, you don't second guess the double header on big elk at the at that moment.
No.
You're like, nah, two of you, this is going to be a terrible evening.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. I was like, hey, boys, we're doing the long haul on this. Well, especially after like 4 days, I think it was, or 5 days of like searching and just plowing bush, trying to find like sign and all this stuff. And I was like, listen, we're going deep today. Like, we're getting back there. We're going to get into some thick zones. And that's the way it works. So the way she goes, I was happy about it though, man. I'll take camera crew any day if it means I can load them up.
Reaching out and telling them they got to film you for number two when you're just going out on big game hunts.
Oh yeah. Well, I should just tell them like, hey, do you guys just want to do like, just get footage of, I don't know. And I would just be like, I don't care what you got to film, but just as long as I can use you when I need you. It was great because like they had, they had a lot of like the camera stuff. Yeah, like Nick had a lot of extra stuff in his bag, but like not really. Like cameras on him the whole time. You know, same with Nolan, cameras on him. So like they kind of had empty bags. Like, they, you know, an empty bag needs to be filled. So made that happen very, very quickly.
Is there a moment like, you know, they're helping you out, they're doing all this extra work behind the scenes that you don't see? Is there a moment where you can almost find that the camera crew is a hindrance on you, like slowing you down, kind of getting in your way, or when these guys were just professionals and kept
going? They were fantastic. I got to say, like, they were really good. I think the biggest thing is, like, I don't know, I'm not a big thing of like trying to find faults in things. I'm a big thing of like just pushing. It's not going to change the reality of the situation anyways. Sure, like walking around with four guys in Crunchy Bush, like, of course, like, everything is on high alert within a kilometer, you know, it feels like at times. You know, so like there's some of that, but like, I don't know, you can't get too frustrated. You just got to get motivated in those moments and put the wheels to the ground and make it happen kind of deals. They were great. Like, I cannot say it enough. Like, they were fantastic. And I'm not trying to just like boost their tires or whatever. They were actually, they're really top quality dudes, and they were like super helpful too. Like, to a point that, like, here's a good example. I literally filled Nolan's bag, and he literally picks the thing up, and he's like, feels kind of light. Is yours this light? And I'm like, yes, mine is that light. Here, mine's heavier. Have another, you know? Like, here, you can take an extra loin, you know? Like, it is that type. Like, they were super helpful. They were not a hindrance at all. There was no, like, hey, man, I can't fit anything else in my bag, you know? They were like, oh, we'll figure it out. Like, they were... I think they're probably the best that I could have ever hoped for that way. So they were great.
Oh, that's awesome. When you were going to the hunt, like, did you think at all when you're rolling into it, like, I got to maybe change my tactic for this elk hunt? Or am I just, you're just going in, doing balls to the wall, doing the normal grizzly thing?
Oh, no, there was definitely tactics. Like, most of the time I actually do, well, not anymore, but before LEH or Moose turned to LEH, I used to hunt later, right? So a lot of my tactics were geared towards, okay, well, what's kind of rutting? Is elk still rutting? Is moose into the rut? And I was able to like work both, right? So it was a little different this step to be like, hey, okay, this is straight. We should be in the rut. I don't know what's around. And at the beginning, like, is anything, you know, I think a lot of people understand is, in like bush, you got different when, like, if you're in big, large landscapes, you know, chasing stone sheep or something, where a lot of it is to do with glassing, right? Where a little more patience can go a long ways. But in this area, it's like, it's not glassing. It's you're pounding bush to find sign, build off of that, and flip those things. The tactics of, like, at first I was thinking, okay, let's spread out. Like, spread out a fair bit so our noise is dampened that way, to a point that I was like, hey, well, maybe all the noise from like us being spread out isn't great. So I actually like shifted us, like sucked this right tight to be like, hey, maybe we're like two animals, like a cow and a calf moving through, you know, and shift right tight. So we're changing a little bit of stuff like that. But it was pretty full on, balls to the wall, but they kept up. So that's all I cared about. There was no slowing down. The only time to slow down is when I was like, okay, we probably should take a breather here.
You know, you see a lot of films where you guys are only taking one animal if they're lucky, but like, you had a jam-packed year, it seemed, and you're almost bummed out during the film that kind of you weren't getting more. It seemed like you were off your usual pace. Is that were you behind the Justin standard?
I think the biggest thing off of that was probably because my muleys and whitetail, like, usually that's pretty decent for me. And it was like, holy crap, it was just so hot last year, all the way through November and stuff, right? So, like, I just felt way out of the mix. And where I usually would be picking up bucks all over the place, it was just, like, dry. So, again, like, got to adapt and stuff. So maybe there was, like, yeah, there was some, like, bummed out about that. But yeah, I had a good season. I'm not gonna say I didn't. I had a great season. Two bulls in a camp of four, and then getting a blacktail, like, that's great. I can't complain about that. And then obviously I did really well. There was a lot of fishing in between. You know, we cleaned house pretty good this year on salmon and even on trout, and I'm not complaining at all. We did pretty good. So had some pretty full freezers, and just being able to utilize those different things, like where we go out every day, like even to local flows, like helps a lot, right? So I can't complain. Put it at, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, I think you can. I think there's a fish that eluded you for a while.
Oh.
There's a little bit of extra excitement when you pulled a brookie through the ice.
Oh, my gosh. Brookies are like, this is the biggest thing off of brookies. I do good on brookies every year. The camera came out and I could not get a brookie for trying, and it was maddening. So at that point, I was like, all right, I got a good spot. We're going to get some brookies. Like, there's no way we're not going to get brookies. Sure enough, we go out. We didn't hit a brookie. And then I was like, okay, that was an anomaly. Don't worry about it. We'll be up here again. We'll get after them, you know. Sure enough, go out there. Absolutely. Don't even get a sniff. And I was just like, okay, this is, last ditch effort. You know, we're going to do some ice fishing for them. And when I pulled that brookie out, I was freaking stoked. I'll admit. I was like, yes, finally. Like, part of the thing, like the film we really wanted to show was like BC. What a BC, right? Like the amount that you can chase and pursue is just like absolutely phenomenal. Like absolutely top tier. So to be able to show that and be like, hey, you can go for brook trout. You can go for rainbows. You can go for salmon, all sorts of different salmon. And then you can go chase elk. You can chase deer, all sorts of different types of deer, moose, sheep, you know, goats, if you're lucky, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's just like, it's vast and enormous just in BC. So you kind of want to portray some of that, because I do all that. So it was kind of, maybe it just was hand in hand that way, that was like, hey, we're going to go out and do these things. So if you're around, come film. And then it kind of propelled into all this. So at any time of any part of the year, you can be pursuing some form of animal you probably can harvest. So that's the way we kind of roll our day-to-day lives. And
when you're out hunting, do you try a lot to tie in fishing? Like, is there always a rod in your truck? Like, you kind of see the squirrel in the tree and you're, oh, that's a nice spot to drop a line. Let's stop there.
Oh, for sure. Like, you definitely have, like I said, I'm an opportunist, so I'll plan it out well. Like, even just for instance, if I'm going to go hunting up north, I'll stop into my cabin, ideally get there an hour before dark so I can blast out, hit some trout on, and then keep carrying on in the morning to go chase animals elsewhere, right? Like, so I function a ton that way. If I'm out in the bush and like I came across, like if I was, it's like even just in hunting though, it's the same thing. If you're out deer hunting, you find a good spot and all of a sudden you come across like, you know, some elk, you're like, well, I'm going to take note of that. That's for sure. I'm going to be looking into that during season. You know, that's kind of how it rolls. Even in when I'm sure the same chasing sheep and seeing goats up there, you're like, holy crap. Well, that might be a good consolation prize. You know, so it's like, it functions the same way. I pick up as much as I can. I have a rod in my truck. I have multiple rods in my truck. That's a pretty standard to pull out anywhere and everywhere if I can, if I have time.
Yeah, with all the time you're spending outdoors and the fishing and the hunting and, oh shit, moments I shouldn't be here, kind of get into the scary situations, because like you're out there, you're a guy who goes, so it's,
yeah,
I'm sure you've had some predicaments.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate enough not to have serious like big, or like, you know, getting in a tussle with a grizz or something like that, or even having face to face with a cougar or something. But like on the water so much, because it's so easy to go, say, after work or like right there in itself, you know, the amount of times I can get out chasing fish is a lot easier than chasing a big game animal or something. So those types of moments, yeah, I've definitely had those. You know, where like you have filled your waders and you're kind of like trying to scramble and you've dropped your rod and you're just trying to get to shore or something like that. Yeah, like I've had I've had a moment there, and that's never a place I want to be again, that's for sure. But I've never really had, thankfully, I truly think that it's thankfully that I've been in a like big old shit moment where I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. But I have been in some like, you know, bluff charges or things like that. And even in those moments, you know, you really don't know yourself until, or how you're going to react until you do them, right? I think everyone tries to train for those things. Us guys that are out there hitting the mountain and stuff, we try to train for those things, but you never know until you're actually in it. And then that's where it all comes. You're in a headlight. Or you're a bear ready to wrestle. So
yeah, definitely. You don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. Do you find yourself being more cautious now that your daughter's in the picture? Like, even if she's not out there with you, you're still thinking like, that's a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't go and do that.
I think about it. Yeah. Definitely. I definitely weigh it out. But I think now that we've been doing it, like she's out with me all the time, you know, out with Scotty and I, like full blast, like so much to a point that like, yeah, it might be easier to pawn her off onto a grandparent if they're available or something like that. But like, we actually enjoy having her. Like she's a blast to have out, and it allows us to like take her or something like that. Right. When before we just be like, go, 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 go. And now like being out there, it's like, anything that I do that's a little more Western, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. Pretty much is if I'm going to put myself into a scary situation or a little hairy situation. I even think then I was doing way worse than those. You know, now coming off of like being a little more tame, stepping into that, I'm like already backed off of it. You know what I mean? To a point that I've been in way worse situations, you know? So... right down to like whether you're like climbing over on, you're like, I think I could scale just around this enough. You know, I think there's enough foot there. Yeah, there's enough. And I might be a little gravelly, but I think I can do that, you know? And well, now it's like, even then I'm like, oh, there's probably another way to just probably just scoot down and go around the other way. And not. So, I think that's, who am I kidding? Yeah, I got a kid. I think about it all the time. I got to make sure I'm around and got to train her right. If I'm not around, who knows what it's going to turn out like, you know? It'll turn out
good. Well, you guys are doing it. Yeah, you guys are doing it right. So it's good. And it's cool that you guys are willing to share the story and everything. What's your, let's get into the fun stuff. What's your favorite hunt?
Oh man, like animal to hunt or like my favorite hunt I've been on?
Yeah, do both. Let's go for it.
Like I've never shot a goat. That's like every year I hope I get the draw. I had the draw once and I muffed it up royally. And it's been on my mind ever since. And I've just like thought, but I love goats. I just love that they're like up there in the tops of mountains and just constantly battling elements at every single time of the year. That's the stuff I really enjoy. Plus I love feeling the burn to get up to them. So maybe that's part of it. Now I will say I have not done a stone sheep hunt, but this year might be the year. I have a buddy who's mentioned it a couple of times that I think it might happen. I think that's going to be a different burn, you know? So I'm excited for that, but I haven't tasted all of it, you know? So, but I love hunting alpine. And I actually really enjoy moose hunting. Elk hunting's epic too. Don't get me wrong. Like there's something about it, but I think I got a sore spot for moose too. I think that's part of just like growing up and doing it, you know? So I think that's probably where that stems from. I love it. So can't get enough of it. And I'm not that bad at it. So that helps.
Well, it looks like there's a decent one behind you on the wall there. So
yeah, that's my
story with that guy.
Yeah. That one I got with a bow a few years ago. That was a pretty epic. So that one's up on there. All the rest have kind of been shifted.
Just move the best and the brightest above the fireplace and keep going.
Exactly.
A bow. Did you call it in for the bow killer?
Yeah.
That, spot and stock?
Called it in. Same thing. Yeah. Tight bush. Got it in. That one was sweet. We ended up calling in a whole bunch of bulls that trip. That was fantastic. But and I actually got Hayden on his first bull moose, which is cool. So he shot one, and then I think it was even the next day it was, we went in there and I was calling. I called this one, like little 3x3, and he stood in the spot, and I could see he was, his ears kept flicking behind him, and I was like, hey, there's something else coming through. Sure enough, like this big bull came walking in. I could see paddle. Then he came closer, and then it got wicked, and he went and pushed that little 3x like right out and stood right in this spot, and I had like a little window, like a 10-inch window through the brush, and I poked that thing right through there. So I was a pretty happy guy. Now he's up here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Was that your first bow kill moose, or?
That was my first bow kill moose, yeah.
It's a dandy one to hang your hat on. That's a good first.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I can't complain. Again, I feel like I'm just lucky all the time, but I actually would really love to get back to, I got family in New Zealand, and I've done a few hunts over there, and I want to do a tar hunt. I've done some heli hunts in there, and it's epic, and I love chasing animals up top. So, but that would be like one that's a ways, because that's not one that's like I can just go and do. I got to save up for all this jazz. But one that would be like DC orientated, honestly, it probably would be a stone sheep. Really, it probably would. Just, and that's probably,
you're in trouble.
It would be like a 2-week trip, right? Like a full blast, pack everything in. Like I live for that struggle and enjoyment. I'm a little bit of a glutton for pain at times. So I appreciate it, I guess. It makes me feel alive. So I'd probably say probably would be a stone sheep, to be honest. I think that one sits pretty high and mighty for me.
You're in trouble once you start. You know that, right?
I know. There's a reason why I haven't yet. But I'm 35 now, you know? Like, I'm like, I should probably do it before, like, knees start going and things start causing issues. You know, I'm kind of like, might be a good time to get into it. I don't expect to get one for years, but, like, I should probably start getting into it. But there's a reason why I haven't started.
You're making Kyle feel old over there talking about knees and stuff going at 35.
Sorry, Kyle. It's no offense. You know, all love to you, mate.
So, what's next for you? What's your goal this season? You got big plans throughout the summer and the fall?
Yeah, like there's a couple of staples that we do. You know, we, Scotty and I will do. You know, we'll chase Chinook salmon September, but throughout summer it'll be a lot of scouting. A lot of foraging. We do like morel picking and find wild asparagus and stuff like that. So there's always like those types of things. Fishing is kind of just part of the daily thing. So I don't be like, oh man, and ice off is just happening right now. Like it's just really like going pretty full bore now within the last week. So I'm obviously itching to get back out there. And then usually I don't really plan hunts full blast until, but I don't draw. So who am I kidding? Probably be chasing elk, which I'll love every minute of it, and chasing deer. So this year I would like to get a big muley. I'm pretty fixed on getting a big muley this year. I've passed on too many big ones, and now I just got to stop doing that and just shoot the next big one I see. To do that, that'll be a November ordeal, and we'll see what else. I'd love to get a draw on a moose again. You know, I'd love to do that, and it's never ending, man. It's never ending. I think there's too many things to plan, but we're out every single day doing something local, but we're gone most weekends doing something, you know, so it's ice off now. So we'll be ice off chasing fish in lakes, pretty full blast. That's the next step right now.
That's awesome, man. Hey, I got a quick question for you. I'm going to put my CEO hat on for the Wild Sheep Society BC. And, so you guys did the film. The film was great. You were, like I said to Greg, I was just mesmerized in it. Just, you're a great, I guess, character, if you will. I know you were just living your life and doing your thing. So you weren't, it wasn't an act. It was, it was amazing. So they held Fargon held an event in the Lower Mainland, raised a bunch of money and donated to the society, and you directed it our way. So, I guess, how did that happen? Sort of what caught the attention? You know, not looking for accolades, but there's tons of great organizations out there. Excuse me, and you chose us. So just curious about that.
Yeah, so like I would say a huge thing. again, yeah, like you say, not chasing for accolades, but it's tough not to brag, right? It's tough not to brag on you guys. I think you guys put out a ton of great knowledge, which is like a huge thing. You know, the film was about like to give back to an organization that puts like that hard earned money to good work and to build habitat and to propel for the next generations. Like, how is that not something to get behind, right? So my thought was, okay, well, this premiere, this is awesome. Let's get this punching in the right direction. And you know, I'd love to push towards Wild Sheep Society BC. And that was like, because I know where what's going to happen, right? Like, I know it's where that money's going to go. It's going to be pushing into everything to do with habitat. And if the sheep are doing great, everything else is going to do great, right? So I'm a big fan of those elements, chasing those types of species, those keystone type species, right? Or flagship type species. So I'm a major fan. And it's kind of funny, like my membership, I don't have a lot of time. Obviously I do. Okay. Who am I kidding? I do, but I spend it full bot doing everything that I love. I need to give. And I believe in being conservationists, right? I believe in putting towards those animals, and people can do it way better than me. So I'd rather give to those types of situations and those organizations. So that's you guys. I felt honored that I could actually feel like I was doing something, right? Which is probably the biggest thing out of it.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things that, you know, that meant a lot to me personally, especially after I watched the film. And I'll probably get some hate mail out of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was cool to see a dyed in the wool, true hunter out there, not a poser, not somebody that's after the gram, not somebody that's looking to create a, you know, a social media profile or build their numbers. This, like, you are a true hunter. And that doesn't mean that there's not like people starting out that aren't experienced, aren't true hunters. But like, mm-hmm. like you're, to me, you're like one of those guys that gets out there, gets after it. Almost the silent majority of great hunters in this province. And BC's got so many great hunters, and they're not, you know, I think about the sheep hunting community, but there's so many great hunters. You'll never see a social media post. Most of them don't even have an account. And again, sorry to those influencers out there. Really burning some bridges here. But it was really cool that we had a genuine hunter, like a guy that, like, I learned so much just watching that film and listening to you talk, and like, you know, the way you're reading the water, the way you're talking about tracking your bull, and just it was amazing. Like, so I got a huge amount of respect for you, and then for you to turn around and sort of pick our organization. And and you're not a guy that's been to a bunch of the shows or anything, and you could have picked 100 other organizations. So that's part one. And then part two is that, you know, to your point, when we do get these funds, like Greg's our president, this is something we take as like a huge personal responsibility. Each and every director, myself and our team, like we don't fuck around when it comes to your money, because we know how hard it is. We don't take it for granted. You know, you look at what Far Gone's done, what you've done with that film and the money you've created, and you could have put it in so many places. And you know, what's amazing to me, like, you're a Monarch member, Justin. We've got 1,500 members, and we put $630,000 on the ground for wild sheep and other species, right? That's not just wild sheep, as you know, that, you know, you talked about goat hunting, you talked about moose, you know, a lot of other species are benefiting, and tree frogs probably too. And some of the hunters don't like to hear that stuff, that we actually have to help other things. I'm kidding. But no, it's super cool, man. So a huge amount of gratitude and a huge amount of thanks for being in our space, for being part of our community. And, you know, we're all hunters, we're sheep hunters. Some of us are more sheep hunters than others. Like you said, you've never done a sheep hunt. You aspire to, but, you know, that's not what it's about. It's not about, like, you know, so, and we get earmarked with that all the time, right? It's like, well, you guys look after sheep, so why would we ever support you? Anyway, super cool, super grateful. and I'm a fan. And if you ever want to, like, if you're ever going to do like a fishing series or a hunting series, I'll sign up, man. I will buy that full series. No holds barred. I just want to give you money because you're an amazing guy. So cool.
Hey, I appreciate that, but I make good enough money. I'm happy where I am. I'm just happy to do life as is. And you know, I will, you know, say a couple things on top of those. There is organizations out there that you don't know who they are. You feel like they're a big name, but like you don't know anything about it. The one thing I would say that even me being a part of this Wild Sheep Society BC is just like, hey, we're actually genuine dudes, and we just want to be genuine dudes. We are just out there. We just do what we love, and we care for the wildlife and the habitat that they inhabit. And like, that's just how life is. And I think you said it right, that like there are so many better hunters than me. 100%. I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to be that way. But I enjoy what I do, and I want to show people that this is at their hands. And I want them to be able to join an organization that would actually help propel these animals forward. And not just one animal, it is multiple animals, right? I really do believe that if you work on the habitat, and everything that's around there is going to benefit. So, like, I love what you guys do. How can I not be? How can you not stand with an organization like that, right? So I appreciate it. I feel honored to be on here and just talk about it. But I think we're all just a couple. We're all just a bunch of Joe Schmoes, and we just love what we do, and let's keep doing it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I hope they do a sequel to this bloody film, because I just like your passion, and like you heard it tonight, right? Any of our listeners that tune in are going to be like, holy shit, this guy's like super jacked. Like he loves fishing, and he loves outdoors. He loves wildlife. And the film was like that on steroids, and Far Gone did a phenomenal job of articulating that. And you were just being Justin, like from what I can tell, it was just amazing. So anyway, brother, I really want to thank you for all you've done to support our organization. I'm looking for more great stuff from you. I look forward to, you know, finding ways that we can do great stuff to look after BC's wildlife. And just thanks again for everything, man. Just super inspiring. It was like, I don't watch a ton of content, and we watched that film because, truthfully, I wouldn't have sought it out, but it was, you know, you guys were involved, and I'm like, oh my God, like that's a film I can watch. And I really, really sat and enjoyed every minute of that. And like I said, a lot of films, it's a bit of a struggle for me to get through, and that freaking film rocked it. And it was because of, well, Far Gone did an amazing job, but it was the central character. It was your passion for wildlife and your knowledge that really made it. So hats off to you, brother.
I really appreciate it. That's really, really kind.
Awesome. Gregory, I am done. I think it's almost Miller time.
Yeah, hey, I've been having whiskeys the whole time. So
I'm there.
Yeah. I'm on my second.
Oh, shit. Had I known.
Were you just drinking water, Kyle? Is something wrong with you?
Like, well,
you know, I've been diving into the trench beers here.
I did meet our treasure, Joseph Humphreys, for a couple of pints beforehand. So I came in a little bit loaded for bear, but not loaded, just loaded for bear. So,
there you go.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Justin. No, thanks again, man. Appreciate it. And let's do this again. And honestly, if you're going to, do you have your stone sheep locked for this fall, or what's the plan there? Is that...
No, I want to see what happens with LEH, but the plan is to do something. For sure. I don't know. Cool. I'm pretty full class, so we're going to take it as it comes.
Okay. Well, when you go back and do your stone sheep hunt, I want to talk to you about it, or maybe you get drawn for bighorn or whatever, who knows, but, you know, we've had your mountain goat experience. I want to hear about your sheep hunting experience. It'll be fun to talk about that someday too. So.
Wicked. I'd love to chat that through.
Awesome. Appreciate your time today, brother.
Thanks. Appreciate it too.